Turn with me in your Bibles to Proverbs chapter 9, and as you're turning, let me remind you one more time about our officer installation service, ordination installation service tonight. Hope you'll come, and also that you'll participate in the reception afterwards by bringing food and coming to honor our new officers that are becoming part of our church leadership. Proverbs chapter 9. I hope is, in addition to your regular Bible reading routine that you have been working through the chapter that corresponds to the day of the month in Proverbs chapter 9, be a rewarding experience for you, a growing experience for you. And we're going to be looking at different parts of Proverbs in the next few weeks. I want to go to a chapter. It's very significant as far as our lifestyle is concerned, and that is Proverbs chapter 9. Let's read Proverbs chapter 9 beginning at verse 1 and read through the end of the chapter. Proverbs chapter 9. Hear now the word of God. Wisdom has built her house. She has hewn her seven pillars. She has slaughtered her beasts, she has mixed her wine, she has also set her table. She has sent out her young women to call. From the highest places in the town, whoever is simple, let him turn and hear. To him who lacks sense, she says, come, eat of my bread and drink of the wine I have mixed. Leave your simple ways and live. And walk in the way of insight. Whoever corrects a scoffer gets himself abuse. He who reproves a wicked man incurs injury. Do not reprove a scoffer, or he will hate you. Reprove a wise man, and he'll love you. Give instruction to a wise man, and he'll be still wiser. Teach a righteous man, and he will increase in learning. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the Holy One is insight. For by me your days will be multiplied, and years will be added to your life. If you are wise, you are wise for yourself. If you scoff, you alone will bear it. The woman folly is loud. She is seductive and knows nothing. She sits at the door of her house. She takes a seat on the highest places of the town, calling to those who pass by, who are going straight on her way. Whoever is simple, let him turn in here. To him who lacks sense, she says, stolen water is sweet, and bread eaten in secret is pleasant. But he does not know that the dead are there, that her guests are in the depths of Sheol, in the depths of the grave. Keep your Bibles open before you. This is God's Word. The grass withers, the flower fades. The Word of our God shall endure forever. Lord, we thank you for this chapter. We thank you for what it reveals about your will for our life, what it reveals about you and your provision. And we pray, God, that we will understand this chapter better. And as we understand this chapter better, that we will live our lives in light of your word. These things we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Read the other day that People magazine receives a little over 50 million clicks a day. People magazine website. Now, that is more than the total population of Mississippi, Alabama, Georgia, Louisiana, Tennessee, Arkansas, South Carolina, and North Carolina combined. It's every day that many people visit peoplemagazine.com. Why? Because people are interested in people. Celebrities, politicians, human interest stories, people causing the news, people caught up in the news, people with stories. Some stories are good, some not so good, some tragic, some inspiring. People like to hear about people. Perhaps part of the appeal of the book of Proverbs, part of the appeal is Proverbs is the Bible's People magazine. It brings to mind, it brings to our minds kings, rulers, subjects, sluggards, simple people, complex people, wise people, foolish people, angry people, gentle people, children, neighbors, husbands and wives, brokenhearted people, thieves, adulterers. And that's just a partial list of the people we find in Proverbs. Proverbs 9 reveals three characters. We're going to focus on two of these characters, two characters that give us an RSVP. Here, come into our house. It's an invitation. We're going to focus on two of these characters because one of these characters is a good character. The other character, not good. And there's a third character this chapter speaks of. And, well, you'll see. This morning, as we consider Proverbs 9 and this cast of characters, here's a principle that arises from this chapter. The people you're attracted to in life depends on your character. Hear that. The people you are attracted to in life depends on your character. Your character. In fact, the people you're drawn to actually reveals your character. Let's face it, unless we have to, for the most part, we don't hang with people with whom we feel no connection. But we are drawn like a magnet to people for some reason, and oftentimes that reason is character-related, a character-related connection. God wants us to be attracted to the right kinds of people. Let's consider two characters this chapter highlights, and then we'll just take just a second to consider a real rogue third character that I hope and pray is not in any way reflective of your character. The first character here is a character called Lady Wisdom. Lady Wisdom. Verses 4 through 6, notice the invitation. Whoever is simple, turn in here. Turn in here. During their high school years, Aaron, Ellen, and Mary Claire had lots of friends visiting our house, and sometimes our front yard looked like a parking lot. Matter of fact, I'm pretty sure the Cross Gates ordinance against parking in front yards is at least partially due to the policeman driving by our front parking lot. Open house we had. Lots of visitors. Brandon's Grand Central Station. It had an upside, it had a downside, but both up and downside, people visited. Now, in the ancient Middle Eastern culture, when you invited someone into your house, it wasn't for a visit. In this culture, to invite someone into your house was to literally invite them to be part of your life, part of a shared life, part of a covenant community of people, sharing the same values and ultimately sharing the same destiny. See, the invitation from Lady Wisdom is not, in the British sense, come in for a cup of tea or drop by for coffee and cake, a Coke and a smile. No, the invitation from Lady Wisdom is come be part of a community of people. Community of people who walk through life on the path of wisdom. Ultimately, be part of a covenant community of people who follow the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, if you think about it, big picture, from Genesis to Revelation, verses 1 and 2 point to Jesus. Because Jesus lived and died to create the community He invites us into. Jesus provided everything we need for living a full life. Notice it says here that in verse 1, Wisdom has built her house. She had hewn her seven pillars. Seven. the number of perfection, full and perfect wisdom, desiring to nurture us. Lady Wisdom is the reason why she's called Lady Wisdom. Women are DNA'd to be nurturing people, which is the idea behind Lady Wisdom. Lady Wisdom intends to provide you with satisfaction, fullness. Number 7, a satisfaction you want deep down in your heart. You know, this description of Lady Wisdom's home, it sounds a lot like what the psalmist says in Psalm 63, verse 5, I will be fully satisfied. Notice this, fully satisfied as with the best of foods, with singing lips my mouth will praise you. It also echoes the words of Jesus Christ in John 10:10. The thief comes in to steal and destroy. I have come that you may have life and have it to the full. Complete life. In other words, if you long this morning, and we all do, to feel complete, you need to make your home with Jesus. See, Jesus alone builds for you the life you need. Notice what Lady Wisdom offers us, verse 2. She has slaughtered her beasts, she has mixed her wines, she has set her table. Notice this. This isn't Hot Pockets and chips, you know, nacho cheese Doritos, washed down with Kool-Aid. This lady doesn't do junk food. Mixing the wine doesn't mean watering it down. You see, in this culture, mixing the wine means adding spices to make the wine better. It's the idea that wisdom is open-handed and thoughtful and generous, just like Jesus is open-handed and thoughtful and generous. Now, the reality for setting this table is that wisdom gives you everything you need for every major issue you face in life. Now, hang with me for just a moment. I want to do just a brief flyover of the first 8 chapters of Proverbs. It's going to be brief, I promise. Chapter 1 tells us that wisdom protects us from violent people. That's chapter 1. Chapter 2 says that wisdom provides peace to our hearts. That's chapter 2, peace to our hearts. Chapter 3, wisdom guides us in our financial decision. Do you need financial wisdom? Chapter 3. Chapter 4, wisdom elevates our status in society. Think about that. Wisdom elevates. You know, the people, at the end of the day, the people we respect and love are wise people. We don't really respect or love people who prove themselves to be unwise all the time. Chapter 5, wisdom gives us a better love life. You want a better love life? Proverbs 5. Proverbs 6, wisdom gets us off the sofa and onto the playing field of productivity. You want to be a more productive person? Proverbs 6. Proverbs 7, wisdom protects us when we're tempted. Every day, as the songwriter writes, we're tempted and tried and oft made to wonder. Wisdom protects us when we're tempted. Chapter 8, wisdom opens our eyes to a new way of looking at life. Now think about that. All that stuff happens before chapter 9. Then after chapter 10, you have this just amazing. This wisdom is a main course. We're talking about addressing the big issues we deal with on a daily basis. The Lord has set a table for us, designed to nourish us, fill us full, fulfill us. Verses 3 through 6, wisdom like Christ is bold and public and cares about all kinds of people. Everybody's invited to the party. Notice, leave your simple ways, verse 6, and live and walk in the way of insight. Now remember, the word the simple, which is used several times in this chapter, is a term accurately applied to many people living in this world today. The simple are people who are not deeply grounded. They're shallow. They're not solidly committed to anything except me. They're people going with the flow, following the crowd, sheep without a shepherd, to use Jesus' words. The simple are those who lick their finger and hold it to the wind to see which way the winds of public opinion are blowing. They follow cultural trends and mindlessly follow the crowd as if the majority opinion is the gospel truth, which it is not. Speaking of simple, you notice the gospel is simple? It's simple in a good way. I want to give you a simple gospel mantra. Simple. Three basic truths guaranteed to offend you. Are you ready? Here are the three basic truths of the gospel. Number one, I'm a complete idiot. I mean, there's no way around it. Look at the decisions we make. Look at what we do. Look at our motives. Look at our hearts. First, I'm a complete idiot. Second, my future is incredibly bright. Not because of me, but because of Jesus. Second, my future is incredibly bright. And third, praise God, anyone can get in on this. Anyone. The invitation is open to all. Friends, here's how we get in on the gospel. Notice it says, verse 4, turn in here. Turn in here. We leave our simple ways. And we turn in to the house of wisdom. That's called repentance. It's leaving the company of the uncommitted who follow the crowd in doing wrong. It's turning into the place of wisdom. The place of wisdom ultimately found in Christ, in whom is deposited the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. Leave your old ways, come to Christ. How simple is that? It's very simple. It's very hard to do. But let me ask you, what do you lose if you leave your old ways and come to Christ? What you lose is this. You ready? You lose the terrible burden of living a life full of frustration. That's what you lose. Now remember this house analogy here in chapter 9, because you cannot enter the house unless you're willing by God's grace to break away from that crowd of people who are committed only to themselves, committed only to going with the flow. But you're not simply breaking away from something. In wisdom, you're joining a whole new community of people. It's an interesting word there in verse 3. She sent out her young women to call. The word is literally to sing out something. You know, music is a community marker. Have you noticed that? Music is a marker of community. Music brings people together. Music can drive people apart. Parents cannot understand, why do you listen to that music? My parents could not understand why, Steve, why do you want to listen to those long-haired hippie Beatles? Parents of teens living in the 50s, they just couldn't understand why their children were listening to that hip-shaking devil named Elvis. But listen, the music, hear this, parents, the music your children are listening to ties them to their peers. So pay careful attention to what they're listening to. See, just like with us, now many of us old fogies, and I consider myself an old fogey, share a common bond of enjoying the Beach Boys, the Beatles, the Eagles, Elvis, and Dean Martin. Whatever generation you're part of, the music of your generation is something we share. It's implanted in the soul of our memories. The music we heard growing up is the soundtrack of our lives. It is the soundtrack of the community we are attracted to. We see in much the same way when we come to Christ, we begin to share a common soundtrack. And here it is. It's called the music of the gospel. This gospel music transcends generations. It binds all of us together in a common life. And whether we sing traditional hymns or retooled hymns or modern hymns like we sing Speak, O Lord, in our service, like we sang In Christ Alone, we're singing the gospel. But remember, with some exceptions, with a few, you won't be hearing gospel music on your favorite FM station. You see, to a fallen people living in a fallen world, this music that binds us together sounds like Barney Fife and the choir singing off-key and loud. Non-Christian music critics, you read what they say about Christian music, they can barely contain their vitriol. Wisdom unites. Wisdom divides. Does that sound familiar? Christ unites. Christ divides. And wisdom invites people into her house. So I ask you this morning, have you entered wisdom's house? See, you're either in or you're out. And you'll see when we get to the third character at the end. Lady Wisdom, that's the first big character. Second character is this. Lady Wisdom, positive, want to follow Lady Wisdom, want to go to her house, want to be part of her community, join her soundtrack. The second character is Woman Folly. It's verses 13 through 18. And these verses are a vivid picture of our postmodern fallen world. Verses 13 through 18. You know, in the book of Revelation, and some of you ladies studied the book of Revelation last year, the Christians face two great enemies, the beast and the prostitute. You remember, the beast savages us. The beast tries to make us do what the beast wants us to do. Beast represents power-hungry governments and power-hungry religions that try to make us submit to them. On the other hand, the prostitute tries to seduce us away from our commitment to Christ by appealing to our sin nature. Power, the beast, seduction, the prostitute. We're about, I'm sad to say, come up on the 2024 elections. Let me suggest that you do something. You take a piece of paper, draw a line down the middle, put the two candidates on the top. I realize I know what the two candidates are going to be, and yes, we will be going into the polls and holding our nose in November. But I suggest that what you do is you list the issues you care about and the issues the Bible addresses, and ask yourself which candidate at least doesn't oppose what the Bible affirms. You know, there's deep differences. You know, Lady Wisdom, Woman Folly, they're inviting you into their communities, but there's core differences. You see in this chapter, Lady Wisdom builds her house. But the entitled Woman Folly, just verse 14, just sits there. Hey, you're supposed to be impressed. Even though I'm not building anything, you know, Lady Wisdom offers us meat and wine. Woman Folly only offers us bread and water. Lady Wisdom shoots straight with us, tells it like it is. Woman Folly writes a check of glowing promises she cannot possibly cash. And the most tragic contrast is this. The followers of Lady Wisdom, they're going to live more and more in a good place forever. But those who follow Woman Folly are just going to join the company of the miserable. They're going to die a sugar-coated death before they even know what hits them. Look at verse 18. He does not know he's dead. Dead are there, and that her guests, notice that. They're already in the grave. They're spiritually dead. Do you see that? Verse 18. My daddy used to say, I remember several things my dad used to say. He's, I think, a very practically wise man. He used to say, son, even a broke watch is right twice a day. Think about that. Even a broke watch is right twice a day. And we need to give Woman Folly credit for telling us one thing that's true. And you know what that is? She says, notice verse 17. This is true. This comes from Woman Folly, verse 17. Stolen water is sweet. Yes. In other words, sin is pleasurable. Sin is enjoyable until guilt sets in. Okay, I confess, I hope you'll confess it this morning too. We are redeemed yet fallen, and we enjoy doing what's wrong. In his autobiography, Augustine confessed on several occasions that he would steal things he already had plenty of. Here's why. He said, because doing something wrong and getting away with it was exciting. Think about that. Doing something wrong and getting away with it was exciting. You may say, oh, Augustine, you know. But look, come on. Been there, done that. What Augustine wrote in his confession is this. Let me quote him. Such was my heart, O God, such was my heart. God, you had pity on my heart when it was at the bottom of the abyss. Come on. If you cannot relate to some extent to Augustine's confession, don't even know what to say. You must believe salvation is a free gift. And it's not offered to people who are cleaning up their act, but to sinners who are a complete mess. Until you believe deeply in your sin and believe in God's grace forgiving sinners, until you get a grip on the gospel, you will not change ever. You see, real change comes to those who know their need of Jesus and who love Jesus because of what Jesus did for them, something we could never do for ourselves. That's how real change comes. We know we need Jesus, and we love Jesus because of what He has done for us. Now, I told you we'd deal with one other character. And this is just sort of drawing this together. This is the most tragic character in Proverbs 9. Verse 7, it talks about him. Whoever corrects a scoffer gets himself abuse. He who reproves a wicked man incurs injury. That is the most tragic character in Proverbs, is the scoffer. You see, this character is so full of himself. He will not accept correction. He will not even admit to doing wrong. He's called a scoffer because he's filled with pride. He's so thin-skinned, you criticize him in the least and he will blow you away. You dare to challenge a scoffer. He'll mock you. He'll mouth off. He'll sneer. He's dangerous Because if you cross him, he'll punish you. And he'll tell you, it's your fault that I did what I did. He victimizes you and then makes himself the victim. But the biggest problem with scoffers who puff up like a toad frog on a lily pad whenever they're corrected is this. If God's grace doesn't touch a scoffer, and deeply, a scoffer will remain closed to the gospel. You see, square one of the gospel begins with saying from your heart, I am wrong, I am foolish, I am a sinner, I need correction. That's the first question for membership in this church. Do you acknowledge yourself to be a sinner in the sight of God, justly deserving God's pleasure, and without hope except in His sovereign mercy? That's the first question you must answer yes to be a part of this church. And until you go there, you won't go anywhere. Because you see, scoffing is a character issue. And just being in a church will not change your character. Hear this, just being in a church will not change your character any more than hanging around on the campus of Mississippi State, Ole Miss, or Southern Miss will get you a college degree. Fact is, you cannot change. I cannot change. None of us can change until we're open to correction. And the only way we can be open to correction is to actually admit, hey, I could be wrong. Ooh, really? You see, you can't choose wisdom as long as you're full of yourself. You just can't. You know, at the end of the day, who you are determines the choices you make. Let me say that again. Who you are determines the choices you make. Our prayer this morning for ourselves, for me, is that God would, by His grace, convict us and change us. Because I don't know about you, but my heart's desire, and I hope your heart's desire this morning, is that we would live this year in Lady Wisdom's house. Isn't that where you want to live? Let's pray. Lord, help us to examine who we're attracted to and why we're attracted to the people we're attracted to. And Lord, help us to be most attracted to Your Son and our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, in whom are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge and grace. Lord, we pray that we would seek by Your grace alone to live in the house of Lady Wisdom, or in the words of Psalm 23, to be able to say from our hearts, surely goodness and mercy will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Lord, that's the house we want to dwell in, Your house. The house of wisdom. Help us, Lord, to live in the house of wisdom this year and every year of our lives. For we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.